Well, hello there, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on another new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. On this podcast, we review the classic movies that defined the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s for us as kids. But with all the movies that were made in those decades, even the most seasoned movie buffs like us have inevitably missed a few popular movies. In talking about what movies to review next, we started noticing that there were a few instances where one of the hosts felt passionate about a particular movie from childhood, and the other two hosts had never seen it. So we came up with a new idea for an episode. We're gonna see if you like it or not. We're going to test her out. We'll be reviewing a classic movie from two different perspectives. First, from the perspective of someone who has seen the movie countless times. And secondly, from the perspective of two people that have just watched the movie for the first and only time. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me today are my lovely co-hosts, AJ Venz and Sean Pryor. How the heck are you?
What's up, dude?
Doing the thing with the stuff in the morning.
Yeah, we're in the morning today.
It's like, is this going to be our like morning show?
maybe it is.
The Confused Breakfast morning show.
This show, we can do like funny sounds and stuff.
Okay, cool. So, because there's not the cracking of beers at this show. It's just like the trombone noises and stuff.
It's like sloshing of coffee in our mouths and ice in cups and shit.
93.67, the Confused Breakfast break.
Confused Breakfast, join you on your morning drive today.
On your morning drive. You're in for a 30-minute free ride.
97.1 TCB. Canceled. TCB. Well, before we get started, we want to tell you about a few fun ways you can support this podcast and all of our efforts. Way number one, give us reviews on Facebook and your favorite podcast platform. In turn, we will honor your words with immortality in the podcast show networks.
Yeah.
So let's talk about one of them. This is from VSean92. He says, Godfather of movie podcasts, 5 stars.
Whoa.
through the power of sheer boredom on TikTok, I found your podcast. Starting off with one of my all-time favorite Halloween movies, Hocus Pocus, I was instantly hooked. As I am reminded how awesome these childhood movies are with each episode, the dynamic between these three guys makes you feel part of the movie nerd club in an absolute great way. They are knowledgeable and thorough.
You have to say thorough.
I am a fan and of all thorough. Of all three of the hosts. I can't help but hear that AJ sounds like the great actor and small parts guy, J.P. Minot.
Whoa. Okay.
Really? They think you sound like him.
I think I sound like another guy. I'll take it.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
I will always be a fan and support the podcast. Keep doing great work. Thank you, VSean92.
Thanks, man.
Wow.
Godfather of podcasts. Wow.
That's what I'm saying. That was one way you can support us. We love those reviews. We love reading them. Way number two.
We hope part three of this podcast won't be as lame as part three of Godfather.
Technically, this is our third installment of something we've
done
on the show.
That's very true.
So we're going to find out. Way number two to support us, you can call our voicemail, 319-804-9596. Leave us a funny message. We like to play it on the show. We like to immortalize you with your words and your voice on the show. So here is this week's fan mail. Check her out.
Hey guys, it's Matt from Dallas, Texas. Found you guys on TikTok, and I'm a huge 80s and 90s buff. In fact, I'm just finishing my first podcast with you guys, which is the Sandlot podcast. Love it. Couldn't agree more with everything you guys are saying, but here's my request. There was a couple movies that really, you know, made up my childhood, and one of those is, well, the Aliens franchise and the Predator franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Predator 1 with Jesse Ventura and Arnold Schwarzenegger, those two guys really influenced me. Want to go into the military and made me fall in love with guns as a kid. I'm sure like most boys, young boys did. I did do a career in the military, and to this day I still collect firearms, and I think I owe a lot to that movie and still have all the Aliens and Predator toys. You know, filled and packaged. And, of course, they're the only toys that I think have gone down in value that came out of 80s and 90s. But you know what? That's okay. I still love those toys. I still cherish them. And they're still in my mom's attic in my toy chest. But please, Alien 1, Predator 1, I would be happy with either. Would love to hear you guys talk about them and go over them. It would definitely be awesome for me in a stroll down memory lane. Love the podcast. You guys keep up the good work. Not going anywhere. And you'll hear from me again. All right. Bye.
Dude. Hell yes.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Appreciate that. Thank you for your service. That's awesome. We are definitely going to get to Predator sooner or later. And then hopefully I'm gonna pull some strings with these guys and get them to do Alien.
A little too spooky for AJ, but we'll get there.
Spooky, man. You know, those Xena
Xenomorphs.
Xenomorphs.
You fucking plebe. God damn it. We're supposed to respect this caller, okay?
I respect him. I just respect Predator more.
They're both aliens, right? I mean,
whatever. Right. You right.
Yeah, okay. Well, and last but not least, one final way to support us. We do have a Patreon. You can go on there. We've got amazing perks for you to show your support for the show. Voting on upcoming movie topics, accessing weekly episodes that are just for Patreon members. Currently over 7 hours of audio just waiting for you. Patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. Consider checking it out.
Yeah. Please.
And here's just a few of our OG supporters. Brian Hernandez, Nick Fulkerson, Kale James, Senior Frog, Mr. and Mrs. Roommate, Greg Jackson, Jason Davis, Daniel Skaggs, Emilio Perez, Skylar Brunson, Jordan Hooten, Brenna Meisner. You guys are the best.
Woo! Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so what do you say? I think it's time to start this up. Like we said in the intro today, one of us has seen this movie countless times. The other two have never seen it. It is time to reveal who is who.
Okay.
What's the movie, though? What are we even doing?
Well, I'm going to introduce you, okay?
Okay.
You're right. The Cutting Edge has been seen countless times by Mike Schulte.
Okay.
Sean and AJ have never seen it. Okay, so did you ever have a chance to see this movie, or was it just non-existent in your world as kids?
No, I don't think I'd ever heard of it, because looking at the cover, I'm like, why would I want to watch this movie? That was my idea. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm like, why is Mike picking a made for Oxygen Network movie? Like, that's what I got out of this.
There's a little less serial killing in it than Oxygen.
It's very true.
Yeah, that was my vibe.
I remember seeing the cover of this countless times strolling down the movie store aisles and everything like that.
It's probably always rented too. You could probably never grab it. Everybody loved that movie.
Oh my God, I don't know about that, but I just remember the cover with the two people facing each other, and then that's all. I don't know. Like every time I see it, I'm like, oh yeah, it's that movie. I'm sure I will never watch that until now.
It's like it looks like the cover of Mystery Date Game or something like that. I'm just like, I don't know.
Well, I guess we had a different experience, because I, for some reason, just watched this movie all the time.
Okay.
I rented
it
all the time.
Is it because it starts with hockey and then never comes back to it?
Pretty positive. For all I know, that may have been the reason why I first watched it, is because I'm, hockey. I mean, I was 10 when this came out, so you start to develop some feelings towards girls and love. So you're like, oh, this is cool. There's love. And he was a cool hockey player. I loved hockey. I mean, I definitely rented this 10 to 15 times probably over the course of 2 to 3 years.
Wow. Did you just watch it by yourself, or did you have some girls?
No,
over?
No. I was many years away from talking to girls, but I knew that maybe in the future I wanted to talk.
This
to
was
girls.
Your training.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is
my training on what not to do to get a girl.
Gotcha.
But I got to give it a rating since I have seen it. So my youth rating is probably 8.5.
Wow.
I really loved The Cutting Edge, and I was blown away that you guys hadn't seen it. But I found that there is a very big cult following for this movie. I mean, they made they made seven more movies.
I saw that.
So this is free on YouTube, I have to say right now. And so are the other 6 sequels, because no one gives a fuck.
Because,
everyone's just giving up on making money off of this thing.
Can I read some of the titles?
Please.
It's like Game of Thrones books in here, man. Going for the Gold, Chasing the Dream, Fire and Ice.
Oh, really?
The magic of movie editing. Wait, but that can't be them, right?
No, I don't think that's the title.
Okay, good.
I mean, you know how we talk, last week we talked about the Fast and the Furious being the number 6 franchise of all time. This is number 7.
This is number 7.
in how much it's grossed. No, okay, so before we actually watch the movie, I made Sean and AJ look at the cover and decide and tell me spot decision what they thought this movie was about.
And we separated too, so we didn't have any bias. So AJ left the room and I did mine first.
So we got to play them. Here are the recordings before Sean and AJ watched the movie. Here we go.
The Cutting Edge is about the Olympics, but it's two ballroom dancers. who want to, they want to ice skate because ballroom dancing isn't in the Olympics. And although two can make all the difference in the world, it does take two to tango, even when it's on the ice. It's called the cutting edge because ice skates were just invented, and it's the cutting edge of technology.
Done.
There it is.
That was what AJ on the spot thought that this movie was based on the cover.
That's impressive.
Here's what Sean said.
Well, the cutting edge is definitely about this man meets this woman. They meet at the Olympics, and this is where Tanya Harding comes in and smashes Moira Kelly's leg, and then that kind of creates the tension between them. But Tanya is actually D.B. Sweeney's sister, but they are already involved, and so that creates a little bit of tension between them, and it's a romantic comedy in that way.
Why is it called The Cutting Edge?
It's because they have to cut her tendon, and so she can no longer participate in walking to ice skating.
Nailed it. I mean, both of you guys had a few elements in there that were kind of, okay. Kind of got it. But
we both got the Olympics part. That's pretty good. Yeah.
I think there was an Olympic rings on the cover. Yeah, so yeah.
Is there really?
Like kind of hidden in there.
There sure is. Yeah.
So in case you are playing along and maybe you have not seen this movie, here's what it is actually about.
Oh, okay.
Doug Dorsey is a hockey player for the U.S. Olympic team. Kate Mosley is a Paris figure skater. Both have fought hard to get to the Olympics, and suddenly their dreams have been shattered. Kate's coach recruits Doug to be her new partner. Through rigorous training, they prepare for nationals and the Olympics. A romance blooms, and their final show could make or break them as they achieve their dreams of Olympic gold.
Mm. Oh,
a little bit off there.
A little bit. Okay.
We'll be all right.
So since they have recorded that, they have watched it one time. Yes. I'm going to be the leader here. I'm going to take them through this, and I'm so anxious to know their thoughts on this movie. They'll be honest. We know they will. But let's dive into a few of the details here before we talk about the movie. So released March 27th, 1992, right after the 92 Winter Olympics were completed, which half of me thinks that's a great strategy because, you know, yeah. We just got into figure skating.
Yeah.
Half of me thinks maybe that was really bad timing.
Yeah.
Like a month later, we're kind of sick of figure skating at this
point. I
wonder
how long they put it on the shelf to just keep it that way.
I wonder, right?
No, don't really see it. Okay, now.
Hold on.
Let's wait.
It grossed $25 million worldwide, directed by Paul Michael Glazer. Do you know who that is?
Mm-mm. I've heard of him.
Starsky from Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, my God.
He's done a lot of TV, too, hasn't he?
He's done a ton, right? But you may recognize this name, written by Tony Gilroy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. What is it?
This was his first movie that he wrote. He went on to write Armageddon, all the Bourne movies, and Rogue One.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Look at that.
And many times we talk about that where we'll talk about this was their first movie they directed or wrote, and it's like, but then they go on to a very illustrious career, and they just needed a starting point. It's like your first band.
How it started, and now how it's going is great.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Start at the bottom, now here.
Much like Rogue One, spoiler alert, this movie is kind of like a suicide mission going in. Yeah. Gotta be honest. So.
And starring the main three people, really, the big names. D.B. Sweeney, Moira Kelly, and Terry O'Quinn. Did that surprise you?
Fucking love Terry O'Quinn.
He's great.
Oh, my God. He's the best role, I don't know, maybe like the best horror performance is him in Stepfather.
Wow.
The original Stepfather in like 90, I think maybe like 90, 89 or something like that. But amazing actor, Lost.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably where most people know him. Yeah. What was his name in Lost? It was...
I don't know.
Yeah, it was the guy.
Yeah.
The weird guy.
The bald guy.
With the hatch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is what kind of gave away this must be like a Canadian production, just because he's always in Canadian movies. So
it doesn't have to cross the border.
Hockey and skating.
Yes.
I mean, it's... Yeah.
Very Canadian.
That's how they all commute to work, isn't it?
That's fun. That's a really good one.
All right, so a couple details about critics and reviews. Tomato meter, 57%. Audience score, 76. IMDb, 6.9. Not too bad.
The audience does
like this movie. Your boy Raj wrote a review.
Hey.
No, he did. That's how you know it's a big deal.
This is a big deal.
He said 3.5 stars.
3.5.
Out of 5.
Huh.
He said, I have a certain affection for movies like this. They get the job done. And Good point. The cutting edge isn't really interested in discovering anything original about figure skating or the Olympics. It's all sports and romantic cliches. And yet the skating scenes, photographed by Elliot Davis and edited by Michael Polakoff, are good to look at, and the actors have chemistry.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's what he thought about Point Break, too, is three, and a half.
3.5 stars.
And that they had good chemistry.
Yeah.
He likes chemistry.
He's a scientist.
Yeah.
But a guy at a thing called Groucho Reviews, if that tells you what's going to happen here.
Groucho Marx?
Gave it 1 out of 4. He said opposites do attract, and they can do it in sequence, can't they? The only thing that could make the cutting edge more absurd would be if the final competition revolved around a potentially deadly, possibly illegal move called the Pamchenko Twist. Wait, it does. Never mind. Kind of funny there. We got a few user reviews, too. 1 star here coming from Fighting Gamish 28. Predictable, boring, and unoriginal. Nothing about this movie is any good. It's a formulaic, predictable, romantic comedy geared to make females force their significant others to watch. In other words, it's a predictable chick flick that is neither comedic or romantic and is extraordinarily forgettable. If you like watching the same thing over and over, then this movie will fit just perfect. I was also forced to watch this with my girlfriend at the time, and it's no surprise we are no longer together. I enjoy great movies that are wonderful to watch while she just wants to see the same thing over and over again, just with different actors. Nothing good to say about this movie. The title says it all. 1 out of 10. 1 because I can't give it a 0.
Well, you know, you're probably going to be alone forever, my guy. So I would probably learn to like some of these movies a little bit. Maybe just give yourself over and maybe not make it so much about you all the fucking time, cocksucker.
Got him.
Boom, roasted.
That pisses me off, man.
But this guy was forced to sit there and watch this lame movie. Dude,
you make her fucking watch Matrix all the fucking time.
Time,
asshole. Give it up.
I love it. Get Sean fired up.
It's a movie. It's the dialogue is great. I will get into
only,
it.
She can only handle True Lies so many times in a row, my guy.
Okay. That's a romantic comedy.
This is a romantic. Did you see the dance scene? It was like, that reminds me. That's like when I was in high school trying to have people come over for like a party, and you're trying to think of a slow song, and all you have is like Metallica and Korn albums, so you find like a 30-second snippet in like Master of Puppets in the middle where it's kind of, and you're like, oh, people like this.
You play the beginning of One.
We can dance to this, right, guys? All right, one more. We got a 10-star review. I mean, people clearly love this movie. This says, saw the movie for the first time over a year ago. This was in 2008, by the way. Enjoyed it so much, I watch it every time Comcast cable has it on. If there aren't any shows on that interest me, I'll go to On Demand to see if The Cutting Edge is available there. Not kidding, I must have seen this movie at least 40 times since last year. Even got my hubby to watch it, and he's not really a big fan of that type of movie. He loved it.
Hey.
You see, like, you just, wow. He probably didn't like it, but he just said, oh, it's great, honey.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I wasn't forced to watch 13 Going on 30. I wanted to watch it, and I liked it.
Yeah.
Okay?
That guy probably got laid that night.
Probably. Well, now hold on a second.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, shit.
Especially love the scene where he challenges Kate to play hockey. Even if I'm not feeling well or in a bad mood, that scene really perks me up.
Oh.
The background music is superb and really catchy. Hey, I'm almost 71.
Oh.
And that movie makes me feel like I'm in my 30s. So, I mean, maybe.
Okay.
Get a little frisky right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Yeah, 71. That ain't shit.
I'd recommend The Cutting Edge for anyone and everyone. It's a movie you can enjoy with all ages and not end up being embarrassed, if you know what I mean. Actually, I'm not sure I know what that means. And this is all caps, right?
Yeah.
Sure wish they would make more movies like that. Is there possibility of a sequel? Mm. Sincerely, Grandma Millie.
Boy, do they have good news for
all right,
Grandma Millie.
Yeah.
They've got at least 6 more installments. for TV.
I'm pretty sure she's hopefully referring to the fact that she wants Moira Kelly and D.B. Sweeney to be involved. There is a scene that I read that said that they both got together after this movie was over and said that they will only do a sequel if both of them are in it.
Mm.
They made that kind of pact to each other, and I think they came to D.B. Sweeney with the second Cutting Edge. He was like, no thanks.
Mm.
And then
Moira
said, okay, I'm not doing it.
Without my girl.
All right, well, hey, before we start, I want to tell you about a cool experience that the boys had a couple weekends ago.
Yeah.
Many of you know our sponsor, Cedar Ridge Distillery. They're located right in our backyard, and not only do they distill the best whiskey, but they have a physical location you can visit, eat, and drink. Mm-hmm. We went out there, a couple weekends ago?
Yeah.
We celebrated some of the successes of the podcast.
Yeah, yes.
And we sat down. It was beautiful. We had some pizza. We decided that we were going to have, 10 old fashions,
just
whiskey
about
sours.
Yeah. And then AJ goes and orders a whiskey sour. Oh, yeah, we're like, oh, they float wine on the top of that. That's a Manhattan sour. We should have 10 of those.
Yep.
And then we said, oh, we should go out on the patio. The weather's nice, and we should order a bottle of wine.
Yeah,
for
because
each of us.
They do wine. Too.
They do wine as well. Yeah. And you know what? We got pretty drunk. We enjoyed. We didn't enjoy responsibly, but we acted responsibly and did not drive home.
There you go.
We got an Uber that took about 5 hours to show up because it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But it was that was like one of my favorite nights of the summer, hands down. And I think a lot of that has to do with Cedar Ridge and how amazing their facilities are, how great their bourbons are, how great their cocktails are.
Yeah.
I mean, the point of the story is this. I mean, we practice what we preach. Cedar Ridge Distillery is truly one of the best whiskeys. And the fact that, they help support this podcast should be absolutely enough to get you guys to at least give a bottle a try. I mean, it's going to be a little bit of cash there, and you're going to love it. If you're in the Midwest, grab some at a local store when you're checking out of that liquor aisle. If you can't find it, go to CedarRidgeWhiskey.com, order a bottle straight to your door. I promise, do it. You won't be sorry.
And they have that thing going on with Slipknot, man. They got a couple bottles of that number 9 cask or whatever, and you would be a heretic if you were gonna try it. Heretic Anthem. Metal. Metal is fun.
You guys get it?
You got there.
All right.
CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
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 Hello, confused breakfast fans. It's Mo and Max from Buzz in the Tower podcast.
How come it's not Max and Mo?
Because I am significantly more talented than you are, and the account is under my name. So
no,
I will do
true.
What I want. There you go.
I need to change some things.
Excellent. So when you are done listening to the Confused Breakfast, one of our favorite podcasts, please hop on over and listen to Buzz in the Tower on any of your favorite podcast platforms. And now back to the show.
Okay, boys, what do you say we dive into our analysis of the very first movie in our I've Never Seen collection, possibly the last. We'll find out. the Cutting Edge. Here we go.
Wow.
All right, so I'm absolutely dying to know. I just can't wait to know. Because normally we know we've all seen this many times and we're ready to go and we've got our notes. You guys, you just watched this movie. I'm so excited. Okay, so let's just start in the beginning, right? We've got our intro. We've got both main characters. We've got hockey player Doug Dorsey. We've got figure skater Kate Mosley. They're both at the 1988 Olympics. Their respective sports and their dreams are dashed to pieces. Did you see that coming?
Couldn't have. I mean, I figured that the movie was only going to be 5 minutes, and they won their gold medals.
Oh, wow.
What
a great video.
Yeah. It's like a music video for whatever song was playing at that point.
It kind of was.
It was like Wagner.
I felt like the music was too good for this movie. Almost some of the orchestral, the intense scenes. It's like, man, this is really good. Actually, was this from Interstellar?
I did notice that one of the songs that there was like a skating montage to was Hard on Fire from Rocky. It was definitely that. I heard it and I was like, and I started singing to myself like unknowingly. I was like, oh my god, it's Rocky.
No, it's not.
Wait.
Well, it starts with him waking up in what's her name's. He doesn't even know her name. It was like Grim or
Rita
or something. Akita. Repulsa. Yeah. but she says something Purina. German or whatever. And they're like, how, like, aren't you, I guess you like sleep. And I this wasn't like out of the realm of possibilities, I guess. But wouldn't you want to like, it's the Olympics. It's gold medal or nothing, you know?
Trained your whole life for this.
Yeah. And so you just go and get some poon before and then wake up late. And would you be scratched as a hockey player if you showed up late, like right out on the bench?
Dude, you can't, we've all played sports. You can't just like, just for a beer league hockey game, you can't show up. You're so rattled to get there and be late and put on all your stuff and not warm up and get on the ice.
It takes a while to suit. up in hockey.
Dude, athletes arrive like 3 hours ahead of time for, yeah. for games to not to go through the motions. The hockey players right. are super, super, what do you call it? Superstitious.
Yeah. Okay.
Super just a little stitious. Superstitious. But like, there's no way. And I guess I get the vibe that he's probably like 19, 20 years old. He's supposed to be in this movie.
Okay.
Because he's trying to go to college. Like, he's getting recruited by, he's in college or
yeah.
Yeah.
he's playing in college.
Oh, or, yeah. You went to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of the best prospects out of Minnesota.
Yeah. They're like just talking about him only.
There are 37 hockey teams yeah. waiting to sign him up next
waiting
season.
To sign him up. Now there it comes. Doug Dorsey.
Well, I like
Double D's.
He had the C on his
oh, yeah.
sweater.
Yeah.
So and at first I'm like, so he's a center, and then he was like a winger, but you don't have to be
yeah.
captain to be a center. But I did like the whole how they shot. Like the whole like tying goal or like the
yeah,
yeah the, when he got the goal or whatever, but then it goes to like him getting slammed into the boards and I'm just like, what is going? Obviously, there's sense. Like I hate that sort of like jittery slow mo in movies. It's yeah. so TV movie for me, and I'm just like, it does it a lot in this movie. I'm just like, ugh. But you know, whatever. It's the charm of it, yeah. but. I can tell, like, when they did do, like, the crushing scene against the boards and everything, that they did just, like, inserts of his face. Like, getting, like, yeah. just, like, like a wide shot of like, a stuntman getting crushed or whatever, and then the cut to him, like, ow. just falling over.
It's like they put a TikTok background behind his head yeah. so he could do that.
That injury scene, upon rewatch, I was like, I don't believe this at all. Like, why yeah. did that happen? Why did all five of their guys just smash him into the boards? And then
after
there's that,
the buzzer.
And then there's that, just like, why does his helmet just go skidding across the- And it's one of those terrible Jaffa helmets, which, by the way,
yeah,
does not fit him.
No, it does not.
Oh, that helmet is like 7 times too big yeah, for him. He looks like an idiot.
I think only Jaromir Jagr wears those anymore. Yeah, it's like, and then they only fit to him, his head.
Yeah, it's not like regulation anymore, but since he's still grandfathered in, you know, he can still wear pick his headgear like that. Yeah. So, but yeah, that helmet, they all looked like, all those helmets looked like they're just like thin plastic little.
Who are they helmets. Playing? Was it like Russians or
Germany? Yeah, so it would have been like West Germany.
West Germany.
Okay. So it was like all like three or four of those guys who checked him after yeah. the goal. Did they automatically lose? Like, is he not a hero? Because yeah.
and what yeah. was that? Maybe the gold medal game. So even though he got hurt, he still would have won a yeah. gold medal,
right?
Or did they lose? Yeah. So he still got, like,
because he's out of the game, they lost. Like, maybe it was like the semifinal. I don't know.
If you lead your team to gold, but in the last minute get hurt,
right?
You still were a vital part of that success.
Yeah,
you
still get a
you
gold.
Received. Yeah,
even yeah. even the backup goalies get a fucking Stanley Cup or a gold medal. You know, like yeah. they and then they never played.
But
yeah.
that's where you know, being critical. Moira Kelly, her character, Kate, she wants gold medal. Like, that is what her life mm-hmm. is depending on right
okay,
now.
Okay, yeah.
Doug wants Poontang and to go to the NHL.
Yeah, dude.
So why is it so important for him to go to win an Olympic medal, right? Is it yeah. just his competitive nature? Because he
gotta
doesn't
be
really
the best.
Care about the Olympics.
Yeah.
He's the NHL is all he cares about.
Right.
And, I mean, that's how we're getting into our next scene. You know, they're yeah. settling into their new lives. Kate clearly can't find the right partner. Doug's living this all of a sudden blue-collar lifestyle, but, like, hanging on to dreams of hockey, which has just proven that, like, that's all he cares about is yeah. the NHL. That's what he's doing every day, is waiting for these letters to come in where
right.
where Kate just is – maybe it's their competitive nature for both of them is what is so – cool about their dynamic, I guess, is because they're clearly both so competitive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I like how his brother is like, it's a beer league, Doug.
Yeah.
He's like, it's at least I'm still playing, man. Whatever.
Like, I still got it going on.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Well, I never played sports, Doug, so I don't know like where you're coming from. I own this bar, and that's kind of it, and that's kind of successful too. So you know, whatever. Maybe I'm a champ.
This is again like this is why it feels like very very like made for the O Network is because it's like the dialogue between like him and it's his brother, I believe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's his brother.
And it's like the dialogue between his brother, it's very quick. There's no wait for responses. It's just like snap, 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 snap. It's just like, Doug, get in here. I need you to take a shift tonight. I'm low staffed. It's like, I got a game tonight. It's like, make me a sandwich. I'm not making you a sandwich. Why are you doing this? It's like, just make me a sandwich. It's just like, he's walking out the door, like yeah. West Winging it all the way through. Like,
still has his USA hockey bag with him.
Yeah, still hanging on to that bag, like his hopes and dreams, toting those along. He just like keeps on going through. And so, and then he's like, got your letter number 27 here, the Red Wings. Oh,
yeah. I opened it.
I opened your mail. That's a felony.
Sorry.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Came to my address.
Well, yeah, got mailed to the bar.
Yeah.
I like Kate's like dynamic, like she can't find the right partner or whatever. And is it just because she's so brutal to them, or is it just like there's no one good enough, I guess?
That's the weird thing, right? Is like she clearly admits at the end of the movie that she's been kind of screwing things up on purpose, which is weird.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, she's clearly so hard to work with.
Yeah.
Even which is why it's kind of mind-blowing that Doug comes. And this shows how competitive Doug is.
Right.
Doug wants nothing to do with this woman.
Yeah.
And they're sitting in the office. He's getting paid, which he probably hasn't gotten paid for a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
He's getting a check written to him, and he throws a piece of paper into the trash bin.
Yeah,
and is willing to risk all of the money double for nothing to throw another piece of paper in the trash can. And then all of a sudden now he wants to skate with her.
Yeah. It's like he just wants to rise to the challenge is all he cares about. And she almost seems like she's afraid of success or something like that, or not being good enough, which is, I think it does add some depth to her character for sure. But yeah, it's like this fear of success or something, I feel like, with her.
What if it's a deep-seated emotional thing that this will be the peak of her athletic career? That gold medal is the highest thing she could ever possibly do in her sport.
Correct.
And if she does it, then what was her whole entire life for after that?
Yeah.
I don't know, like maybe you become like an instructor after that. Like you get a gold medal and then you just become an instructor. Like if you just want to keep keep living the skate life or whatever.
That's right.
Instead of the salt life.
living that skate life, babe.
but also, again, like why couldn't she just become a singles skater?
Yeah,
why does she have to have a partner?
Why does she have to be a doubles person? Yeah, like because do they not do as many of like the spinny air tricks or something? And it's about like their routines.
So
together.
She's just not as good as the single skaters.
Maybe that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I think it's all about the choice of music, to be honest. Because I guess I was watching Rio Olympics one time, and it was a single skater, and maybe it was gymnastics. Not much of a difference there.
kind of the same, just different winner and something.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Somebody was dancing to doing the routine. I don't know what you call it, but to a Jimi Hendrix song, and it was Bold as Love, and it's like no, it's not him singing at all. It's just like him playing the guitar, and it was fucking magical. Like I will never forget that. Like I don't know. I think it's maybe just don't do any more like Russian ballet songs in your routine and get some rocking, dude. And that's what kind of Doug injects in.
But you know, I want to see some figure skaters in the Olympics skating to the Midnight. How cool would that be? Shadows by the Midnight.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm into that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, a fan.
It's a long routine, but yeah,
it's a long routine.
And I guess the one cool thing I always thought as a kid there was how bad I want that house and that rink.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having that rink in your backyard?
You have your own rink.
Oh, my God.
You have your own rink. Yeah. Fresh ice every day. I want that. What does her dad do?
I don't know. I think he's probably just like investing, maybe, but
imports, exports.
I don't know. And it's Terry O'Quinn, so it could be something pretty fishy.
Oh, damn. Maybe
he's in consulting.
Maybe this was Locke from Lost before his injury.
Oh.
That then took him onto the island.
Well, that was a tragic twist.
Tragic twist. Wow. I really don't know how to connect that, so I'm just going to let that be.
Let that fly.
That's a Pumchenko twist right there. Whatever the fuck it is. I like their contentious relationship. I like that in movies a lot. I haven't seen a movie like that in a while where it's a romantic comedy, but it's like contentious right off the bat, and then they get like to warm up to each other. Yeah, foreplay. But Yeah, you don't see like romantic comedies. I love romantic comedies, by the way, but you don't see that anymore. It's mostly just like, you know, you're attractive, and then but there's something in between us keeping us apart or something like that, or like I just can't commit.
I just can't.
Like that's all the romantic comedies nowadays. Well, but their like dialogue back and forth is really good,
and they do fall into some of the tropes. You know, like of course there starts to be some chemistry, like, you know, but they're keeping their distance as they're training. Then we, you know, finally maybe showing some signs of it. Then we introduced, oh, by the way, I have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
That always happens in these movies. Hail.
Hail.
Hail shows
Hail.
Up.
Hail.
Fucking Hail.
Did you recognize Hail?
Uh-uh.
It's Dwyer Brown.
Yeah.
It's the dad in Field of Dreams. It's the younger version of Kevin Costner's dad in Field of Dreams that he has a catch with.
Oh, okay,
oh,
cool.
God, that's right.
He was just here in Iowa for the Field of Dreams game. They came back. Him and Kevin Costner came back. And,
oh, man.
Yeah, I don't think he did too much, but I saw him right away because I had just watched Field of Dreams.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah. There he is.
Hell yeah, cool.
And then we get that the toe pick.
Topic.
That's probably the most famous part of this movie that I think people would quote from nonstop is Topic.
As soon as that scene came up, I'm like, yeah, that's gonna come up on the show. I know it. You know, and like I'm like thinking to myself, that's probably what this movie's remembered for.
It really is, man.
It is Topic. Pretty annoying.
Topic.
Yeah. It's like I was like, this is one of those times I'm like, okay. All right, that's funny, but
he's still doing it.
You're still going, right. Okay.
We can take like two of these out, right?
Yeah.
And we get our first of many really bad early '90s music montages.
Yeah.
Some of that music could not take that, but you got to have your montages in the early
'90s. Yeah, you need your montages.
A lot of skating like up to the camera and then like smiling off. Off camera to Kay or Doug, you know, it's like rushing up, like, hi. And then, like, music going on in the background. It's like, ooh, God.
And then we get the scene where they play hockey together.
Yeah.
Doug finally gets to show off. Doug isn't used to being the weakest link. He is.
Yeah.
So he's got to show off one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
There was no tape on Kate's stick, which is a pretty important. You kind of want to have tape on your stick.
Yeah. And it shows him taping up his stick, like, right before.
Yeah. Why don't you tape up her stick? Oh, you want to guarantee that you beat her, Doug?
Yeah, you want the advantage.
But then she rips that slap shot.
Uh-huh.
You guys have all played a little bit of hockey, right?
Right.
Do you know how hard? I still can't rip a slap shot. I can't get it off the ground that high.
Right.
I mean, it takes a lot of flex on a stick
and
some perfect form to get a slap shot off the ice, and she just rips it.
Yeah.
Hits him in the face. He's fine.
She's a natural, man. I mean, she did raise it up like it's kind of the opposite of Happy Gilmore. She raised that stick up like it was a golf club, like it went all the way around, all the way around her shoulders and then came down. But I'm like, I guess it works.
Yeah.
And then he had just a gnarly looking gash that showed up for one scene and then
never came back.
So I was making a pizza at the time. I went and got it out of the oven during this scene, and then the next scene he's like, "Yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
From
didn't you just get fucked?" And smash in the face. Like, that's worse than your injury that took you out of the Olympics.
And I think it was the same eye, if I can be correct here. The same eye that he hurt playing hockey that he can't see out of. He's got blind spots. He just took a puck to it.
Good God.
That's just being irresponsible at this point on his part. He's like, I just want to have some fun, play some hockey. And then, like, you go and injure your same eye more doing the same thing that injured it originally. You've got to be kidding me, Doug. Yeah. You've got to be kidding me.
But he's fine for the holidays roll around, New Year's Eve party. Woo!
Yeah.
Big party. And that shows me his youthfulness when she goes, I don't drink. And he goes, it's only champagne.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's probably something I would have thought when I was younger. Like, champagne is not alcohol.
It's like apple juice, dude. It's whatever.
Sparkling apple juice cider.
I like, this is kind of like where he starts kind of like, oh, she's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, she's doing the same thing or whatever. And he's talking to like other girls and stuff, and like kissing like nine women at fucking midnight.
Yeah.
Like, damn, dude. Like, that's COVID, dude.
I thought it was you just find one person. Apparently, this is like the start of like some like orgy.
Cool.
For like Caligula style.
Yeah.
Like going down here. Like, what's going on? Does he know what he's into now?
We're guessing Doug slept with at least 8 to 9 partners during this sequence of this couple
probably.
Years.
Right.
Yeah.
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 So it's fine. And it's the
90s. That's another thing, too. It's like 4 years later, right?
Yeah.
This whole story begins kind of like after the Olympics.
After the 88 Olympics.
Every 4 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So 4 years later, yeah. we're just trucking through 90 minutes, four years and 90 minutes.
Hey, man, it's that Kubrick cut.
So obviously, despite some issues, things are coming together. They're looking good for Nationals, and they go and kill it at Nationals, but somehow just get a low score just because the judges have favorites. Weird.
Yeah, this was probably one of my, this is a huge gripe for me, because they're like, one, okay, you don't really get to see what they do, A.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. It's like, okay, we don't actually get to see them. It's just like, this is the Hearts on Fire montage of them. And it's just like, oh, yeah, and we're doing skating. And then the
we're smiling
on the face,
so it's good.
People are smiling. Yeah, yeah. We killed it. Yeah. We did so good. And then it's like 5.4, 5.6. And it's just like, oh, and then artistic 5.3.
Artistic.
But and it's like, what the heck? This is bull crap. We should have won. We should have been. And he's freaking out. What is this sport? This isn't a sport. And it's like, so they added all this drama, and then you see the it must be West Germany again, the Lederhosen.
The Lederhosen.
Bad guys from Mighty Ducks 4. I don't know. And you're just like, all right. And then they even say, oh, looks like a skate got caught in his Lederhosen. And it's like, do you guys know what this means? We're going to the Olympics.
All right.
So
absolutely nailed it.
out of a sheer, what is it? Just like a stipulation.
Yeah.
Happenstance that you get to go. That is frustrating though, because I couldn't imagine going from hockey. It's all up to you.
Yeah.
And then when you do figure skating, I guess it's all up to three other judges, you know?
No kidding.
And it's not fact-based. It's not like you scored more goals.
Right.
It's like opinion.
Yeah,
it's true. Which is why gymnastics and figure skating it'd be so frustrating.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You just said.
Yeah.
I can't imagine going through that. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine.
And what was the point? Why couldn't they have just done so well and got second place?
Right, It's like they didn't come back up for them to be like...
It kind of makes them out to be like, maybe not that good.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think they are.
No, you guys got here on technicality. It's like, well, everybody got here on technicality, asshole.
Technically.
Fucking Lederhosen. So they qualify for the Olympics, but Doug's going home, and Doug is so embarrassed about the fact that he's figure skating. And that whole scene.
With a hot woman? Are you kidding me? That's like the ultimate.
He gets to put his hands where?
Yeah. Yeah, they show that shot. It's like between her legs. He's like, right here.
Yeah.
Oh, he's looking up at her vagina.
Yeah.
Can I wear baggy cargo shorts next time we do this?
Yeah.
But I didn't understand. I guess it was warranted why Doug was so embarrassed, is because his friends and family treated him like shit.
Yeah,
no, they should have been so proud of him.
Oh my God. Like, he's embarrassed about this. I'm just sitting there like, why?
It's pretty awesome. Dude.
I get to be kind of romantic, have some chemistry, and touch a beautiful woman, and I get paid loads and loads of fucking money.
Paid tons of money, and by the way, all the other women that I've also been around.
All the opportunities I've gotten,
and I can't even tell you. And his brother's like, oh, that's so lame, you're doing that, little fairy boy. And it's like, dude, like what? Are you kidding me? He's way more badass than you.
You own this bar and have that as a life?
Which, by the way, is called Dorsey's Penalty Box. Great bar.
I
would totally go to the penalty
absolutely.
Box.
Absolutely.
Where are you going? Penalty box.
Going to the penalty box. Down to Dorsey's.
At least 5 minutes. Not right. Yeah.
But
maybe 10 maybe game is coming.
Yeah, you know.
Well, you hear that, even that funny line, the guy, he goes, I've been figure skating. Finger painting?
Well, okay, so that's...
Everybody quiet down. We got to hear what he's saying.
Thing. That's the other thing, is it's like, Doug's back. Dougie, oh yeah, Doug, get him a beer. Let's all hang out and surround Doug, like as a group.
Everybody shut up. We got to hear what he says.
It's like, cool, tell us where you've been then, Doug. It's like, you haven't been on the Merchant Navy or whatever? The Mercantile Navy?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like...
Merchant Marines.
Merchant Marines? You haven't been sailing around the world and spreading your royal oats? And
it's just like fucking Wizard of Oz. And you were there.
And you were there. It's like, he's just like, shut up, my brother's going to talk. And he's like, maybe we should go outside. He's like, no, announce it to the entire world.
Are you kidding, man? I came here for karaoke night.
Yeah.
Can we just sing?
We just have a good time. Will you make me a sandwich?
Asshole brother.
On a panini.
There were a few scenes after this that felt like, I didn't notice it as a kid, but it felt very much like there's some missing scenes or they just the editing was weird, because there was that thing about Doug going to Boston for a couple of days and Kate getting really upset about that.
Oh, yeah.
But like then he's just back. He's just there. Yeah. like he went to Boston, but they never showed any of it. And we don't know why Kate was mad. And then he was back for practice.
Yeah, right. That's true. Yeah, there's probably something cut there for some reason.
And then even the addition of the scene where her old coach comes around.
Yeah.
And she even has that line like, he's going to make you cry. He's so good. Which I love that fucking line. But,
what?
but even that scene's like, did we even need that? Are we starting to show some of her motivation of trying to make the old people in her life mad?
I think that's it. That makes sense.
There's got to be some. I feel like it's trying to create like depth for her and everything. But it's kind of a lazy vehicle to do so.
And
you know?
He just so happens to be standing there overhearing it.
It's like, why are you on our property? Like,
how did you get inside?
How did you get in here?
He lives next door. No big deal.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell? He just showed up.
it's like if there's like a character in a show or something, like in jail, like deep in prison or something like that, like solitary confinement, and like their old mentor shows up in their jail cell, just like, hi. How the fuck did you get in here? Like,
what are you doing?
Are you doing hard time along with me? He's like, no, I'm just here to tell you exposition.
Yeah,
to give you motivation.
Also, I'll never be back in the movie. Goodbye.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
I'll never have another important scene with you at all. So,
bye.
Okay, bye.
I'm not going to, at the end of the movie, give you a nod and maybe a thumbs up or a wink and give you my like my approval.
Yeah. This was my plan all along.
Yes. Deep down, you know it was me that motivated you.
Yes.
Wink.
So then jealousy and drama start creeping in further. Kate becomes engaged.
Ew.
And Doug sleeps with an opposing team skater.
Ew.
First of all, I feel bad for Hale. Hale, legitimately, sometimes in this trope, they make that boyfriend to be out to be a...
like just a douche.
Yes, they make him out to be a douche, or it turns out Doug sees him sleeping around even though they just got engaged.
Yeah.
Hale seems like a great, stable guy, not doing anything wrong, really loves Kate.
Yeah.
And then, but yet as a kid, we were rooting for them to break up so that Doug and Kate could get together.
Yeah.
It's weird how they make you do that. No, that is a great relationship. Yeah. What are you doing? Let them be together.
Yeah, why are we doing this? Like, why did we have to be a part of this? You made us an accessory to this.
You did.
I assume he's like kind of in business with her father, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, has something to do with that. And then like compared to Doug, who's a failed hockey player, you know, like, I mean, he's charming and funny, I guess, but you know, like Hale. And like
Hale.
He's tall.
And like, I assume like when they got first introduced like to Kate, he's like, hi, I'm Hale. You know, like what a name, dude.
Yeah.
Like, Ivy League.
If someone told me that, I'd drop my pants right then and there.
All Hale.
All Hale.
All Hale.
My king.
I don't know. I just felt very uncomfortable. And then again, he's just gone.
Like, he goes, you're falling for him. Yeah, and then he just packs his bag and goes, okay.
Yep.
And
honestly, I would too. I mean, whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, I guess I can't do this. Like, I guess I'm not charming enough for you, bitch. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I guess since I can't figure skate, then we can't be in a relationship. Yeah. So what?
So just because he can figure skate and he gets to touch you, and like, I've been holding all of this in, this jealousy, because, you know, I don't get to touch you like that ever. So.
Yeah.
Hale just treats her like a queen, and Doug just treats her like shit.
Yeah.
And sleeps around, and she's like, I love you.
Yeah.
Yep. I love it.
I love you.
Ugh.
Don't sleep with that redhead anymore. This is me.
Bad boys.
Well, she broke it off with him, and she's obviously, she's drunk, but then she's like, I'm throwing myself at you. It's like, gross.
Yeah.
And he's kind of saying like,
right move. He's like, no.
Not like this. Like, that's weird.
This isn't the way this is supposed to happen.
Yeah.
and now you're making it worse. So.
and then she goes and knocks on the door in the morning, and there's Smiley Redhead saying, hi, I'm trying to break your team up.
Sins of the flesh, man.
Yeah.
What can you do?
No big deal. What are you going
to
do?
Do you think she's trying to break up the team?
I don't think she likes him at all. I think she's trying to ruin everything.
She's just trying to get in there.
Yeah, she's trying to ruin
play the mental game.
Make sure they can win that gold.
Got you.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
No, actually, no one cares.
There's no side conversation of like,
no.
So how'd it go? And it's just like, oh, he's in love with me. I've got him wrapped around my finger. It's like, all right, our plan's coming together. And then there again is the evil, like, old coach, like, folding his hands over. And like, yes, yes.
Well, I've heard stories about the Olympics literally being just sex orgies.
Fuck yeah.
No, like it's a known fact. That's that awesome, literally just dude. All the athletes from around the world just all they do is fuck.
Yeah, why not?
Totally.
Yeah, get in there, man.
It's just, I mean, it looks like ancient Rome and Greece, like just all up in there.
It's the Michelangelo painting on the ceiling.
Exactly. Yeah. That's basically all it is, apparently. That's what you did. You put them all together. What else?
They've been training for 4 years for this moment. They know that even if something happens, you know, maybe an STD, maybe a pregnancy, we're still good. We made it to the Olympics.
Yeah, this isn't
going to come on for another couple
weeks. You're going to get this 4 years out of the way.
My last year.
So yeah, 9 months is 9 months, but this is 4 years. Okay?
4 years.
I can't wait.
So, of course, they go to the Olympics. Kate decides to retire, mm-hmm. which is just so... I still don't understand what she said. What she was saying. Like, he even says he looked at the tape, and he's like, no, I saw it. He was perfect.
Yeah.
Kate's the one that messed up. But does that mean she messed up on purpose, or that she just mental... lapse from the pressure? I still don't understand what happened there.
Yeah.
And I've seen this movie a million times.
Like, you're right. She's trying to sabotage the whole thing just because she wants to get one over on like the old people in her life who are just like telling her what to do over and over. But even that motivation isn't like really enough for me.
Her dad's just supporting her.
Yeah. Like,
you really love figure skating. We'll build a rink for you.
Hey, I happen to have a shit ton of money.
Let's do it.
Let's just do it.
Yeah. You
know, but like, it's kind of symbolic with that case without the gold medal in it.
Right.
Where it's just like, until you put something in there, you are not my daughter.
You are
kind of a machine right now, you know?
Getting that symbolism is like taking a slap shot to the face. Yeah. It's just like, okay, symbolism, we get it.
Yeah, all right.
Here it is. Yes, this empty case. Oh, yeah, if only.
Like my heart.
Yeah.
I'll never love you until you fill this void.
Basically, it's like, I don't know.
Did you like the cinematography of the skating scenes?
I liked it, but like AJ was saying earlier, it was like super close. You can't really tell what's going on. And like I said, I hate that jittery slow-mo shit.
Totally.
I think it could have been done a little bit better, but also I think maybe budgetary wise, like, I don't know, they had to have hired some skaters, but like, I'm just wanting like a couple wide shots of stuff going on so I can kind of see what's happening. But
there were a few, and honestly, the stunt doubles were amazing. Mm-hmm. It feels to me like they were the ones skating. Where we talk about three ninjas, like that is not him,
right.
Old man doing the tricks, and you can tell it's not doing. Right.
While watching this movie, I'm like, did they just hire figure skaters to be actors in this movie?
Yeah,
like maybe. I don't know.
It looked like them, and it still held up for me. That, but you're right. The way it shot made it nice and easy to kind of get their faces in there, and it was cool. I also don't remember in the Olympics them ever being able to dim all the lights and put spotlights on them. It's usually a very well lit arena, so they can see the ice.
Yeah, it seems a little bit too dramatic.
Beauty and the Beast on ice.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it felt like. And then so they do the Pamchenko twist.
Uh-huh. No, we're not going to do it.
Yeah, we're doing it.
No, we're not going to do
it. Yeah, no, we're doing it.
No, we're not.
Okay.
All right, well, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
But are we doing it or not? I can't. Did you agree to it?
We should probably figure this out.
But I don't think we should.
I don't think we should do it.
But we
okay,
should.
Wait, we just started skating. So what's the answer?
I can't think about anything else, I got to be honest.
Let's do it. Let's not do it.
What? Wait, no, are we doing it?
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Honey, where do you want to eat? Where do you want to eat?
Where do you want to eat?
They're already in a relationship here.
Foreplay.
That I remember watching that as a kid and still as an adult. It's so hard to watch that. The spinning of that lady in her head is, because that's someone did that.
I know.
That is a real, that's not CGI. Someone is spinning a woman around and her head is inches from concrete ice. And then he just throws her. Which looked effortless.
Yeah, it's like, what?
and then somehow skates faster than any human being to catch her. Then he catches her.
Yeah, and then he has to skate to catch her. Is that right?
From a standstill. He just threw her like 30 yards into the air at an angle, and then he has to skate from a standstill to go get her and catch her stopped. It's a mind, but that trick is just yeah. folklore at this point.
Because
it's
not a twist, man.
He's like Deion Sanders throwing a touchdown pass to himself out there. It's just like, yeah. like, what the hell's going on? How did he get there?
And so did they win?
They fell in love, man. Everyone wins. Yeah.
Did they get gold?
Maybe it's like cheap to just be like at the end of your routine, just make out and like, yeah, we're in love now. Maybe everyone should do that, win over the crowd, you know?
Maybe they got penalized for that.
Turns out that is an illegal move and they are out of the Olympics.
Yeah, you actually can't sexualize your routine.
you can't fuck on the ice. Yeah,
you can't do
that's
that.
That's not, we want to see it, but yeah. we can't just have it going on. Like OnlyFans took it off, you know,
yeah,
we're done.
Yeah, we can't do it.
So do you think their relationship will last?
I think so. I don't see why not. I think I don't care.
I think it's a very speed moment between Keanu and her. I see, you know what? Fuck it. Who cares?
I actually don't give a fuck.
You know what? I don't even care.
No, this is my segment. I get to ask you questions.
Oh, I didn't write any notes, Mike. So okay.
He just disregards your fucking question.
No, he thought about it, and then he goes, actually, I don't care.
Hey, you know what? I don't care.
I can't even make something up right now.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
No, all right. Do I think they make it? I think eventually it ends, and then we get... we get like a seventh installment that's you know Blades of Glory.
Yeah.
They separate and then they come back together.
Yeah.
So last question I got for you, like, did you buy DB Sweeney and Moira Kelly as leads in this role? Did you like them as it?
Lots of chemistry for sure. I agree with Roger Ebert. I really like them together, and I can see why they wouldn't want to do a sequel without each other. I agree.
I like them together. DB Sweeney has like less chin than Scooby Doo, and I just need him to figure it out. Like, it's just kind of like this. Like, every now and again, he just gets this face. Like, he's just always surprised at everything, and I'm just like, what? So I don't know. Like, I get it. Like, yeah, he's kind of handsome, but like, is he like my leading man? I'm like, I guess.
Is he the heartthrob? You know, yeah. I feel like
that they're making him out to be.
If you
know?
Read a lot of reviews on this, people either loved, they were someone that fell in love with Moira Kelly, or they fell in love with DB Sweeney, which is okay. why they really liked it. They had crushes. Yeah. I'll be the first to tell you if somebody is just a man rocket, gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
But I'm like DB Sweeney, I'm like, I don't see the heartthrob. Yeah. But Moira Kelly, I was in love with her as a 10, 11-year-old boy.
Totally.
Just gorgeous, great. I thought she was an incredible actor in this movie.
Yeah.
Some of the things she did, and I don't think she really did too much after. She's done some voice work and stuff, but I mean, she was amazing. But you're right, their chemistry was maybe the most important thing. You take a different actor in one of those roles, and maybe that doesn't work out as well, right?
Yeah, I think this is the first movie I've seen either of them in. Like, as far as like noticing them, like as main characters, obviously. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, they just did like voice stuff, and then like Fire in the Sky, and
that's exactly what he went
on. That's kind of it.
All right, so what did you think? You guys have never seen this movie,
right?
You're giving it literally a modern day rating. Tell me what your final thoughts were and what this rating was.
There's no way that a sequel to this made it to theaters, right?
No.
Okay. I still feel like this is like made for VHS or like straight to VHS or whatever they call it. It was meant to be on the O Network or something.
Hallmark,
thank you. Yes, there we go. And so I had a really tough time. Like, it felt like I was watching it like an adult episode that's not scary of like Are You Afraid of the Dark a lot of the time. You know what I mean? But it was fine, and like I think it was like a fun movie for the most part. The chemistry is probably what saved it, and there's just a lot of unanswered questions though. And so I think honestly I'm just gonna give this a 4.9
for AJ. Sean, what about you, man?
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. I I love movies like this. Obviously, like I said, I like the contentious relationship that starts off contentious and gets, you know, lovey-dovey in the end. I like these actors. Like we just got done saying, Terry O'Quinn's amazing. I'll watch anything that he's in.
Oh yeah,
I don't care what it is. And yeah, the photography is cool. I like the ice skating aspect. You don't really see movies like this, I guess. I mean, there's a whole category of ice skating movies, but this is probably up there with them. But I like their dialogue a lot, and I'm just kind of a sucker for these movies. So I'm gonna go. Let's do 6.1.
Damn, I did not think you were gonna say that, Sean.
I like it.
I'm glad I could help you out.
Well, yeah, I mean it's like
let's not get out of. I mean, 6.1 still not that 6.1. Great, but
it's like a movie you throw on and you just kind of eat popcorn and let wash over you. It's like there's nothing that's gonna happen that's gonna be like, wow, I've never seen that in a movie.
See that coming.
But I love movies like this where you can just throw it on and not think, you know.
That's true. Maybe it's a little different for me. Like I, you know, having held it in such high regard as a kid, this watch for me was like, oh, I did not like it as much. I could tell why I liked it as a child. But I was thinking about some of the other ratings I've given on some of these other movies. I go, would I rather watch this other movie? And I'm like, I probably would. So I mean, for me, it's probably down to a 4.
Wow.
From an 8.5. And it's not bad. It's just that's what this show is about is your expectations and remembrances from childhood to now. So maybe having just watched this on its own for the first time, I may feel like you guys.
Right.
But it didn't capture me the way it did as a kid. So yeah, I'm maybe down to a 4 on that one.
Nice.
Fair enough.
Well, like with movies like that we've done, like Three Ninjas and stuff like that, like there is a time and a place for these movies, you know?
Yes.
Right.
And this movie is just like, yeah, I could kind of throw that on. I wouldn't choose to, but if it was on, I'd watch it. And then like Three Ninjas is like a choice. It's like that, we're going to watch it and drink some beers and make fun of it.
That is exact. Three Ninjas is a great example for me because I just absolutely loved that as a kid. And then when we rewatched it, I said, what is this?
Like it's like hard to watch. Like at points, you're just like, oh, God.
There's that stuntman trying to do Grandpa.
The wig is so bad.
Okay.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this. If you like this installment, we're thinking about putting it in every once in a while. Where now we'll let Sean and AJ do the same thing for picking one of their favorite movies we haven't seen. So let us know. Hit us up on all those socials. Tell us what you thought. It means the world to have you here. Tune in next Wednesday for my selection. It's been getting requested nonstop.
It has.
And I'm going to make it official.
Okay.
We're going the Mighty Ducks.
Whoa. Damn. Another ice skating movie.
We fall in those little tropes every once in a while.
With more hockey in it.
More hockey. So, yes, please, more hockey. So, hope you'll continue hanging out with us every Wednesday. We have that Patreon, like we told you. Here's the rest of our members that we always like to name off from that top tier. Dane, Joel, Tony B, Jordan, Nick Marula, Alicia, Camden Griffith, Francisco Rivera, Cameron J, Kirlana, Big, Andy, Bud Larson, Anita Richard, Travis Hunziker, Willie Cox III, Janelle Lewis, Joseph Thomas, Dr. Daddy, Marshall G., Riker Garrison, Mitch Kavanaugh, Ryan Carlton, Sean Dixon, Dana Dane, Josh Miller, Macy, and Connor. You guys are the best.
Truly are amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. AJ, take us out on the socials, bro.
Thanks so much, guys, for listening. Make sure you are following while you're listening, following, liking, reviewing, giving us that thumbs up, subscribing on whatever platform it is. Spotify. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, podcast players, all over the place.
Podcast players.
Check us out on the on Facebook, facebook.com/confusedbreakfast. We've got Instagram at Confused Breakfast, TikTok at Confused Breakfast, Twitter, Confused Be Fast.
Yeah. You can find me, SeanParr237, Instagram, and Letterboxd. Let's go TikTok as well. Buy our merch. Let's do Confused Breakfast, Big Cartel. Get some shirts.
Love it. Where can everybody find you at, man?
AJAYVENS, AJ Venz, anywhere on social medias.
I was really trying hard to think of a cool website.
Yeah,
but this is the first time we've done it just right now, it's been a morning.
Yeah,
we don't do it in the mornings. Brain's not working.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm gonna. My website is farts.turds.com. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye now.